Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Very Stable Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Reed. You can follow me on Twitter at NiceReedSteve. You can follow the podcast at A Very Stable Pod. Check out all of our work over at StampedeBlue.com and give the website a follow at StampedeBlue on Twitter. So this week, we are talking about the Tennessee Titans game, and then we're going to look ahead towards the Thursday night matchup, the battle of the horses there with the Colts versus Broncos on Thursday night in Denver. So looking at Tennessee, I'm going to start with the positives today. Normally, I start with the negatives. I get really frustrated and get really excited, everything like that. Today, I'm going to start with the positive. I want to start by saying, to mention somebody that I've briefly mentioned in other podcasts, but I want to say kudos to Grover, the guard butcher. I think that he is just, Grover Stewart's just been an absolute menace this entire season. It's pretty clear that the Colts made the right decision when they went ahead and signed him to an extension. He's really paying dividends for the Colts in his second contract. So kudos to Grover, who I've nicknamed Grover the Guard Butcher. I think that one should stick. I'm pretty confident in that one. He's been just absolutely demolishing people on the interior of that Colts defensive line. It's been wild to watch him. Like, the push that he gets, he just crumbles the pocket right in a quarterback's face. And having him playing next to DeForest Buckner has been pretty great, to be honest. He's that run-stopping defensive tackle that can also rush the passer, which is really unique from a guy that size. Other guys I want to point out that had really good games this week. Alec Pierce. I thought that he made play after play for Matt Ryan. When Matt Ryan was under siege from the Tennessee Titans defense, Matt Ryan kind of just chopped the ball up to Alec Pierce. And Pierce made those plays. He came down with it. He always was right there when Matt Ryan needed him. So I think Alec Pierce is starting to show just how good he is. He probably should have been a first-round pick, to be totally honest, given his size, speed, athleticism, his ability. Yeah, he had that really bad drop in that Houston game, his first NFL game of his career. Could have been his first reception being a touchdown pass to ultimately win that game. But ever since then, when he's gotten the opportunity, he's played very, very well. Next guys I want to point out is the tight end group. The whole tight end group. Like, the tight end group has been pretty great the past 2 weeks. They've been spectacular, to be honest. Kylan Granson is able to get open with ease playing that more F tight end role. They're being able to just get out and run across the middle. It reminds me a lot of Dallas Clark, to be totally honest, for Colts fans. You'll recognize that name. Kylan Granson is just a really cool version of Dallas Clark. He doesn't have Dallas Clark's blocking, but in terms of receiving tight end that Colts fans will remember. Granson's a smaller tight end. He's able to get open, get across the middle, get those just kind of short catches, and then turn them into bigger gains because he's got that athleticism, got that speed. So I'm really excited to see how he progresses throughout the year. Another guy I kind of want to point out the defense as a whole in this. I think the defense is kind of finally getting it in terms of Gus Bradley's system. And you're seeing that now play out a little bit more and more each week, is to see the defense really start to get that pass rush. They had 3 sacks this past week. Dio Odangbo, Quiddy Pay also had a sack in there. And so the Colts defense is really coming along. And I'm really excited, to be totally honest with you, about the progression of Isaiah Rodgers. I was really frustrated with how he did not get kind of the play that he deserved, because Isaiah Rodgers has been really good starting back to last season. And then all of a sudden, Gus Bradley came in and he was able to, he just caused some problems in terms of like the ability of the corners and giving them all this stuff. So we're looking at the sacks that the Colts defense was able to get this past week. And you've got Grover Stewart was able to get one again. Grover the Guard Butcher just taking over that game. Dio Odangbo and Quiddy Pay all got sacks. They got a bunch of quarterback hits as well. You had 5 quarterback hits as a team, 3 tackles for losses. And this is all kind of without Shaq Leonard back in the game. He was in the game briefly. It was great that he was able to come back And then it was clear they put him on a snap count, as there were certain series that he just didn't play. And then, unfortunately, he took a shot from, I believe, Zaire Franklin and ended up putting him in the concussion protocol. He's already been ruled out for the game this Thursday, and also a broken nose. So my hope with that is they actually put Shaq Leonard on IR for that. And then I want to also bring up, like I mentioned, Isaiah Rodgers. He's been playing very, very well so far this season in limited snaps. I get really frustrated with it. If you remember the game, Tennessee had I think Derrick Henry had like an 18-yard touchdown run on one play. And if you watch that play, Brandon Faison was the cornerback in that situation, came flying in and just absolutely missed his read. Like, was not in the right spot. He was able to bounce it outside. It was just it was really frustrating to see, because it was clear that he missed his opportunity to make an open field tackle on Derrick Henry, which I get it, as a cornerback, you kind of don't want to be the one that is taking that hit potentially. But at the same time, you got to know your key. And if he slows him down even for a little bit, Colts probably stop him there. And you're looking at potentially a field goal, but it's a 4-point swing. So again, 4-point swing right there. If it's a field goal instead of a touchdown, you're looking at the Colts having to kick a field goal to tie the game there at the end, rather than having to score a touchdown. But I said right after the game the next day, I said, Brandon Faison, you know, he's been and continues to be a liability for this Colts defense. And sadly, that's again showing true. And Gus Bradley's just unwillingness to play Isaiah Rodgers was really showing through. I was happy to see that after that play, unfortunately, it had to happen. But after that play, Isaiah Rodgers got a lot more snaps. I think he outsnapped him 24-12 or something like that. But if you notice, it was all after that play. And then later in the game, that exact Tennessee ran that exact same play, that Derrick Henry handoff, letting him bounce it to the outside. And Isaiah Rodgers was right there ready for that key and tackled him for a loss. So it's pretty clear that Isaiah Rodgers is a better player there. I'm really excited. I know it sounds bad because the defense gets a lot of crap for how they're playing and everything, but I think that the defense is getting really kind of short-staffed on most drives where the defense is not having to play on a short field. They'd give up very few points. And unfortunately, the offense has kind of been shooting the defense in the foot, because they're giving the opposing team short fields. And it's really difficult on short fields to stop teams, especially because a lot of times when it comes to those short fields, you get those short fields because the defense has made a play, gotten a big stop, and then they've had to punt. And those short fields happen because in the first handful of plays, the opposing defense is able to get a turnover. When that happens, it demoralizes your defense because you just got off the field, you're really excited, you get a break, and all of a sudden you hear the crowd go, oh, and then you realize, shoot, I've got to go back on there. And I've got to now try to stop them from getting 18 yards to score a touchdown versus having to stop them to get 80 yards. So it's a big difference there for the defense having to do that. So next I want to talk about what I thought were kind of the negatives in this game. I'll start by just mentioning again Brandon Faison. I think that the nepotism that Gus Bradley and quite honestly the entire coaching staff shows in this situation is really frustrating. And it's something that has kind of irked me with Frank Reich for a while, is that he's going to play his guys, not the best guys. You know, you have Chris Ballard talking about this entire culture of, hey, you know, the best guy's going to get paid, the best guy's going to play, except the coaching staff isn't fulfilling that. So you've got Frank Reich, who wanted to go get Carson Wentz and was even sounded like pretty frustrated at the end of the when the Colts traded him, that they went ahead and moved him. You know, he went and got his guy in Eric Fisher, not the better guy in Charles Leno. And that's what he pushed Chris Ballard for. And part of that blame goes to Chris Ballard for sure, because Chris Ballard's ultimately the guy that signs him. But Chris Ballard's the one that gives him the players that he wants. And Frank Reich isn't able to do it. And then he gets kind of pissy when you question him on it. And not he goes all wishy-washy Ned Flanders. And, oh, gosh, golly gee, you know, I just don't know what to do here. We're doing the right things. We're so close. We're so close. And it gets tiresome after a while to keep hearing that over and over again. There's only so many times you can hear that you're so close without actually getting there before you sit there and say to yourself, you know, are we though? Are we so close? Because you keep telling me we are. And at this point, I feel like we should have some wins, but we're not. And so that can get a little bit frustrating, you know, hitting on the nepotism aspect of it. You know, Gus Bradley, of course, he's got guys that he thinks can play good in his scheme. And so Chris Ballard went out and got Brandon Faison from the Las Vegas Raiders, brought him in. And it's been clear from day one because, you know, most of these practices at this point are open to the media. And so you see it. Like, it's not like that's all behind closed doors. You see that Isaiah Rodgers is better. Practice in, practice out. You see he's better in the games. And yet, Gus Bradley continues to play Brandon Faison. And it's really frustrating because it just doesn't seem like that's the right play. And I just get tired of the nepotism because that ultimately is going to – that is what ruins your locker room. That's what ruins your culture, is when you've got guys that you know are the better players. And the locker room knows is a better player, and yet they keep not getting play. You know, it's just really, really frustrating. And that's exactly how you crumble a locker room culture, is because you keep playing the guy because they're your guy versus playing the guy because he's better. So, yeah, let's look to the next thing. The offensive line is something that needs to be discussed. I don't know what's happening there. You know, Braden Smith and Ryan Kelly have been really bad. And so I don't know what to do there. The offensive line went from the top offensive line, top two offensive line. And then Chris Strausser was hired. And I think they were still up there in, like, the second top five, and then they went to 10th, and then they went to like 20th, and now they're 32nd. Nothing's changed. Anthony Costanzo got retired, but and you're playing Matt Pryor out of position, even though he played okay in spot stuff and last season. You're playing him out of position. He's a right guard, and he's trying to play left tackle. You would almost be better off putting Braden Smith over there at left tackle than you would having Matt Pryor play over there, and let Matt Pryor do what he does best and try to maul people. The trouble is he's not been able to do anything in run blocking either. So it's really frustrating because Matt Pryor should be better than this. I'm really hoping that they give Bernard Raymond an opportunity to win that left tackle job, because I think that he's got an opportunity to be really, really good. But what people don't understand is when the offensive line struggles, or maybe we do understand at this point, when the offensive line struggles, the quarterback struggles. And the wild thing is, you know, we want to pin a lot of blame on Matt Ryan. He's had a lot of fumbles, which is uncharacteristic of him. He's had 6 to 8 fumbles, something like that. And so that's really strange for him. It's not something that he normally has. You look at and you break down his numbers, and he's actually putting up pretty good numbers outside of that, except he's having to hold on to the ball a little bit longer because he doesn't trust his offensive line. When you're getting free blitzers up the middle, because Tennessee's a good defense. Jeffrey Simmons is a menace. I think Jeffrey Simmons, right behind Aaron Donald, is the best defensive tackle in the NFL. And I've said that for years. I understand having the issue in the interior of the offensive line, but also DeNico Autry, which, again, this was a signing that Chris Ballard had an opportunity to keep him there with the Colts, but Matt Eberflus didn't like him in his defense, which is weird because Matt Eberflus's defense always lacked a pass rusher. And so DeNico would have been really good to have still. And quite honestly, DeNico is the one that pretty much won Tennessee this game this past weekend. He had 2 sacks two tackles for loss and three quarterback hits. So DeNico played an awesome game. But we got to get the offensive line fixed. I don't know what it is. And quite honestly, I'm seeing Matt Ryan's passes get batted down more often than I see any other quarterback. And part of me wonders whether that is the teachings of Chris Strausser and Kevin Mawai. Chris Strausser is Zach Hicks, formerly of Stampede Blue, and now with Sports Illustrated pointed out, he uses a lot of what's called the mud method. And it's just kind of like getting in the way. No matter how you can, you get in the way and that you slow them down, slow that pass rusher down before they get there. But it's not an aggressive scheme. Googs, the former offensive line coach that Frank Reich fired him because he was like too mean to the players, which again, professional football, I don't see anybody coaching in today's game that is too mean without like being just absolutely belligerent. So maybe Frank needs to toughen up a bit. You got to understand that these are grown men. And yeah, if it goes to an extreme of humiliation, things like that, then yeah, okay, step in. But if it's just yelling, cursing happens. It is what it is. But Chris Strausser, I just wonder about the aggressiveness that he teaches the offensive line, because it feels like the offensive line has no willingness and no intent to punish defenders when they put those arms up and jump. Normally, in most offensive systems, if a defender jumps in the air, the offensive lineman just takes him and throws him to the ground, because that's what you do. You teach them, hey, if you're going to show me your belly, I'm going to hit that thing so hard that you think twice before you put those hands in the air. For whatever reason, the Colts aren't doing that. Like, you want to see Quentin Nelson just absolutely pancake guys over and over and over again, and he's not. Like, and it looks like it's a taught thing with Chris Strausser. Like, the Colts really need to get back into that mauler mentality where they just absolutely crush guys. They need to get into that mentality where they go and they punish players. They need to be aggressive. And they've got to stop being passive. And that goes up to the coaching staff with Chris Strausser. I honestly, regardless of what happens tomorrow against Denver, I have a hard time believing that Chris Strausser is going to survive the weekend. I feel like he needs to probably be let go. I don't want to see Kevin Mawai take over, because I don't think Kevin Mawai is actually a good offensive line coach either at this point. So I'd actually like to see the Colts go, and I'm going to throw this out there for everybody, is I want to see the Colts go out there and hire Eugene Chung. The reason why I say Eugene Chung would be the perfect guy here, and I'm trying not to just like cut people out without providing a solution. I think that that's something that, in general, if you're going to give a criticism of something, you need to give a solution. But if you're going to fire Chris Strausser, you need to have somebody ready to go. Eugene Chung could be that guy. And here's why. Eugene Chung was with the Philadelphia Eagles, was the offensive line coach, offensive line assistant with the Philadelphia Eagles under Frank Reich. So he has familiarity with Frank Reich's system. He has familiarity with Frank Reich. He's an exceptional offensive line coach. All of his offensive lines in Philadelphia were among the top in the league. So you'd get somebody that's already ready-made and ready to step right in and coach, and would kind of fit in seamlessly to what you've got right now. So that's where I'm looking at it, because if you can fix the offensive line, then you fix the fumbling issues. And quite honestly, if Matt Ryan doesn't fumble or isn't rushed, doesn't have those tip ball interceptions, very rarely have you seen an interception from Matt Ryan where it's just he threw to the wrong guy. It's been tip balls for the most part, or it's been fumbles. You look at this and you're going, okay, like if you fix a couple of these things, this team is very different. Like, he's got 5 interceptions right now on the season. And so you look at this team, and if you can fix that offensive line, like, you're probably looking at a team that's 3-1 right now, at the very least. Because if you don't have those interceptions, quite honestly, they probably win in Jacksonville, even though, you know, Jacksonville was a terrible game, 24-0. That game got away from them, and then they kept shooting themselves in the foot. So if you can fix that offensive line with somebody that can come right in and coach them up and put them in the right way to play, I think that you've got an opportunity to really, really take this team can take off. Like, I know I made fun of Frank Reich earlier by saying, oh, they're close. They are close. They really are. It's just trying to get this offensive line fixed. And unfortunately, for the past year and a half, it's kind of been the offensive line, despite the fact that Chris Ballard has invested more in the offensive line than any other team in the NFL currently. The offensive line is their Achilles heel. If they can get that fixed, they have an opportunity. And I'm not saying Chris Ballard doesn't deserve blame for this. He didn't go out and get a left tackle. He could have gotten Trent Williams. He could have gotten Charles Leno. Eric Fisher, who scoffed at the Colts by Colts offer, is still unsigned. So maybe you look out to him to bring him back in. Maybe. I don't know. But ultimately, you've got all of this stuff going on, and you don't need to have all of it. You can take care of it. It's fixable. And Matt Ryan, outside of the fumbles, he's been pretty good. You know, that last game against Tennessee, yeah, he had the fumbles and the interception. Still had a 110 quarterback rating, 109.7. Still had a 70% completion percentage, 27-37. Threw for 356. Was probably, I think, maybe the passing leader that week, this past week, in terms of yards. And that was in a game where, like, they couldn't really get the running game going. And Michael Pittman didn't really play well. Or let me rephrase. Michael Pittman got bracketed in this game and got double covered the entire game. So Matt Ryan threw for 356 yards. 325 of them was to other guys that weren't Michael Pittman. That's pretty good. That means that he's spreading the ball around this offense, and you've got guys making big plays and that are stepping up. So I look at this and I say, this is a fixable issue for the Colts. I feel like Chris Strasser shouldn't be able to survive the weekend though, after what's gone on. So I'm not on board with the fire Reich plan, because everybody's saying, oh, we need to fire Frank Reich, we need to fire Chris Ballard, all these things. No, Chris Ballard has actually done a pretty good job as a general manager. I'm a little frustrated in the fact that it seems like he's hedging by letting the head coach make some of these important decisions, saying, oh, well, who's your guy? Who do you want? Okay, I'll go get that guy. Because then you're saying, oh, well, but it was his decision. That frustrates me a little bit. I think Chris Ballard needs to just go out and get the guy. He's one of the best player evaluation guys. Just do it. Just go get your guy. Go get the guy you think is the best guy and go forward with it. So that does frustrate me a little bit, but I'm also not on the fire Frank Reich right now train that's coming through the station. And that's because you don't have somebody in house to be able to step up and take over for him. Who are you gonna put up there? You're gonna put Marcus Brady? No, he's not ready. Gus Bradley, it's his first year here, probably not. Bubba Ventrone, maybe put Bubba up. Like, that would be an interesting thing. The guys would definitely respect him. This Colts special teams is consistently one of the better ones in the league. So maybe you put Bubba up, but do you feel confident in that? I wouldn't. Not right now. And so that's why I say Chris Strasser is the guy that somebody needs to go. There needs to be some accountability in order to hold that locker room. And I'm sorry, but the offensive line coach seems to be that guy. So the other last thing I want to talk about is the injuries. Both Darius Leonard, Jonathan Taylor were injured in this game. Darius Leonard's out. Tyquan Lewis also is out with a concussion. They've already ruled him out for the Denver game. Same thing with Shaq Leonard. And then Jonathan Taylor has a high ankle sprain, which he hopes to play tomorrow night against Denver, but who knows whether that's going to actually happen. So we'll see. Jonathan Taylor is he might play. They might just be playing coy with him, make him a game day inactive in order to keep Denver guessing. In that case, a lot of people are saying Nyheim Hines is going to be the guy. I don't think that's the case. I think you're probably going to see Deion Jackson or Philip Lindsay be the guy in that situation to be the heavier workload guy. And so that's one of those things. As always, I want to bring up here in the middle of the podcast, go to abbyandlibby.org. Check it out. See if you can help them find closure to this. Again, there's over $300,000 reward for any information that leads to the capture and of who did this. So go ahead and visit abbyandlibby.org. Now let's move on to the Denver game. So the Denver defense is legit. Like, that's what I got to say. Denver sitting here at 2-2. They've underperformed all year. Their defense is legit though. They don't allow a lot of points. If you look at the Denver's points allowed, it's been 17, 9, 10, and then 32 this past week to Josh McDaniels' Las Vegas Raiders team. So that's the highest points they've allowed all season. The one good thing for the Colts is Randy Gregory is out for the Denver Broncos. He was a huge, huge get for them. He's their pass rushing defensive end. He's one of the better players there on that team. So he's not in this week. So you've got at least an opportunity there. With the Colts struggling with the offensive line, you do obviously get a little worried there. Patrick Surtain II is a guy that I expect to shadow Michael Pittman. He's a guy that's a really, really solid cornerback. He's probably one of the better young cornerbacks in the game. So I expect him to get a lot of play. Outside of that, the defense is good. The offense for Denver is actually pretty meh, despite the fact that Russell Wilson is now the quarterback. Quite honestly, I wonder if Denver, as a fan base and as a franchise, is kind of regretting giving up so much for Russell Wilson, because he hasn't elevated this roster as of yet. Right now, they're sitting at 2-2 with losses to the Seattle Seahawks, who I believe are maybe 2-2, maybe 1-3, and then to the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, they do have wins against the Texans and the 49ers, which are both good wins. However, the offense hasn't really won those games. The defense really kind of won those games. The Denver offense right now has scored 16 points, 16 points, 11 points, and 23 points. So they're right there with the Colts as being a really underwhelming offense and underperforming offense for what expectations would be. The good thing for the Colts, though, is quite honestly a bad thing for my fantasy team, is Javonte Williams, their star running back, is out with a multiple ligament knee injury, knee tear. He's out for the year, maybe longer. He may not be back at the start of next season either. So Javonte Williams, he tore his ACL, LCL, and I think posterior corner ligament. So he's got a lot of stuff going on. It's a long road to recovery for him there in that stint. So that, and then obviously Randy Gregory, he also got put on IR, so he will not be playing in this game. My general thought for Denver is the Colts have a shot here. And if the Colts can limit their turnovers in terms of fumbling issues with the offensive line, then they will win this game. The Colts will win this game if they don't turn the ball over. I have no faith in Denver coming up and outscoring the Colts in just like an absolute shootout. I just don't, for whatever reason, Denver hasn't been able to do that. So I'm interested to see how it goes. But if the Colts can limit the turnovers, then I think that the Colts will win the game. Like if they have only one or zero or one turnover, they will win the game. If they get up into that two, three turnovers, I think they will lose the game, because the Colts defense, when opponents have been forced to drive the field, they've been pretty stout and they haven't allowed teams to get those sustained drives in terms of scoring touchdowns. But when they get put on a short field, it really demoralizes the defense and they typically allow touchdowns. So if they can limit the turnovers, I think the Colts have a great opportunity to win in this game. Also, in terms of the Colts defense, they need to really get their pass rush together. And it's been progressing each week a little bit better and better each and every week. You see Kwity Paye starting to win more and more of his pressures. You see Dio step up and play really well. Grover, the guard butcher, is just crushing the interior offensive line, getting that interior pressure. DeForest Buckner, again, has been a menace. And Yannick Ngakoue, a guy that I haven't mentioned yet in this podcast today, has been getting pressures. So you're starting to see the defensive line start to get those quarterback pressures, quarterback hits, and sacks that you weren't able to see under Matt Eberflus. And you're seeing it from the front four, which is a real benefit for the backside of the defense. So you're going to see, hopefully, a little bit more in terms of turnovers. You're going to hopefully see a little bit more in terms of turnovers from the Colts defense and be able to get maybe an extra possession there for the Colts offense. I will say this, if for whatever reason they aren't able to get a pass rush in, then Russ might cook. There might be a feast in Denver because Cortland Sutton is a really good wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy, obviously another really good wide receiver. No, once they lost Javonte Williams, they lost kind of their pass catching running back there. Mike Boone is going to step in. Quite honestly, if you're looking for a fantasy advice here, I'd probably look to play Melvin Gordon over Mike Boone. I think Gordon's going to get the workhorse amount of carries there. So that's what I would look at. Again, I think the Colts have an opportunity tomorrow in Denver to get a big win on the road. Again, for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to show up against Tennessee and Houston and Jacksonville, but they show up against all these other teams. So I hope Frank Reich doesn't get cute with it. Every time he gets cute, they get beat. So I'm hoping that the Colts really kind of put together a really strong team effort and get a win in Denver. Again, like I said, if they can limit the turnovers, I think the Colts win. If they don't get a pass rush and don't get any turnovers themselves, I think this game's going to be down to the wire. That's it for this week's episode of A Very Stable Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Stephen Reed. Go ahead and rate and review us 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it be Apple, Spotify, any of those, Stitcher, any of those other places. Go ahead and rate and review us. You can follow me on Twitter at NiceReadSteve. Follow the podcast at A Very Stable Pod. Check out all of the great work done by all the contributors at StampedeBlue.com. And go ahead and give the website a follow at StampedeBlue on Twitter. Thanks again, everybody. Hopefully next week we'll be talking about a big Colts win in Denver. Have a great one. Go Colts.